Okay, good morning. We're up to Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chavav. Finishing up the last few psukim of Perek Zayin. We discussed yesterday these mysterious words that this fourth creature will have shlita. Well, we should be more precise. We should more precisely explain that the horn, the 11th horn of the fourth creature, will grow and will have shlita over Klal Yisrael, and will attempt to remove the zimnin v'das, the times and the law, the holidays of the Jewish people, and Klal Yisrael will be given over to his hand into the control of this nation until a time, the idonin uflag idon, until time. There was one point that we want to make, that this is also noted by the Mefarshim, is that when we discuss this pasuk, we think it refers to the coming of Mashiach. How long will be under the control of this horn, this nation, whoever it is, number the 11th horn of this fourth creature, until this time? But I've seen in the Sefer Mishpatei Zohar, it does not necessarily mean that at the end of this period Mashiach comes. All it says is we will be given over bidei. That does not mean the Geula will come. Geula comes in many stages. There are many levels to Geula. The ultimate Geula of Eliyahu HaNavi, Hine Anochi Shlech Lecha Meis Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGovi HaNoira, that's one stage, the coming of Eliyahu, which will come before the coming of Mashiach. But even before the coming of Eliyahu, there is a tekufa where we will no longer be under the shlita, the control of this machas. Let me give you a story. I think I once told you this story. It's a beautiful story. I think it just brings out a little bit of what it means, the coming of Mashiach. There are many different layers and levels to the coming of Mashiach. There was once a chassid. He went to his rebbe, and he demanded, or he begged his rebbe, he wants to be zochah to gilui Eliyahu. He wants to merit to see Eliyahu HaNavi. So the rebbe discussed with him why he wants the Eliyahu HaNavi after a discussion. So the rebbe said, okay, fine. I'm going to guarantee you that you will see Eliyahu HaNavi. What you should do is you should go to this village. It's very, very far away. It'll take you a few weeks to get there, travel there. And when you get there, in the process of going there, you will meet Eliyahu HaNavi. So the chassid, very excited, he goes, he gets in his carriage, it's the middle of the winter, and he sets out on his long journey to this village. And as he's traveling, he stops over every night in an inn, in a village. And one night, as he was traveling, it was a freezing cold night, his carriage breaks down. The wheel of the carriage cracks, and he's unable to proceed forward. And he's stuck in the middle of the forest, the middle of nowhere. And from a great distance, he sees a little teeny home, a little teeny hut, and there's a candle lit in the window. So he quickly goes and he runs to this little hut, and he knocks on the door and opens up an almana, a widow with a little child, and he tells this woman his problem, that he's traveling and his wagon broke, and he needs a place to stay for the night, and he needs some help. He needs maybe some tools to fix the wagon, whatever it was. So she takes him in into the house, and then he notices that they have nothing to eat. That this widow and her child, this orphan, they're on the verge of starvation. So he knows in the wagon he has some food. So he goes out to the wagon, and he took with him food for this trip, and he brings some food. And he gives the woman and the child, he gives them what to eat. Okay, very good. The next morning, she helps him, she tells him what to do, and she fixes his wagon, and he fixes the wheel, and he continues, he proceeds to the village, he goes there, he spends time there, and he's waiting for this great revelation to meet Eliyahu HaNavi, and nothing happens. He doesn't see Eliyahu, he's waiting and waiting, another day, a week, and he has to go get home. You know, he can't stay around here forever. Nothing happens. So he goes home, he travels back, takes him 2 weeks to travel home, he comes back to the Rebbe, he waits online to get into the Rebbe's chambers, he comes in and he tells him, nothing, you told me to go to the village and I did not come in contact with Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm very disappointed. You promised me that I would see Eliyahu, and I did not. So the Rebbe said to him, you met him. You just didn't realize. Go back again. Go again. Spend another 2 weeks traveling there each way, and you'll see, this time you'll come in contact with him. So he goes again, and he's traveling again. It's still during the winter. It's very cold. And as he's traveling, he remembers, I remember in this location last time on my first trip, my carriage broke down. And there was that woman in that little hut. She helped me. That almana, why not? Let me stop by. Let me stop over and go see how they're doing. So he stops the wagon, gets out. He makes his way there to this little home, this little hut, whatever it is. And as he's about to knock on the door, he hears the mother and the daughter speaking to each other. And the daughter, I don't remember the exact conversation, but it goes something along the lines that the daughter says to the mother, Ma, I'm hungry. We're starving. There's nothing what to eat. So the mother says, don't worry. Don't you remember a few weeks ago, just as we were about to starve, we were in a lot of pain, Eliyahu HaNavi came and brought us some food. So we don't have to worry, Eliyahu HaNavi will come once again and give us what to eat. He then realized that he was the Eliyahu HaNavi for this little family. So when the Rebbe told him to go, he obviously opened up the door, they took him in, he said hello to them, and he obviously had a lot of food in his wagon, and he gave them food. He then realized, that when the Rebbe told him to go, to have Gili Eliyahu, there are many types of Eliyahus. There is the grand Eliyahu of the Navi, Hini Anochi Shlech Lechem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem. But in the process of history, there are many Eliyahu HaNavis on many different levels. Personal Eliyahu HaNavis, there are great salvations that come to people, and there are agents of this salvation, which also on some level of Jewish are considered to be the Eliyahu HaNavi. And this person, he was the Eliyahu HaNavi for this family. So here as well, we have here these calculations, and there are so many calculations. It doesn't say here, this is what it says in the Mishnah Zav, that when Mashiach, that we're going to be delivered over into the hands of this 11th horn on this fourth creature until Mashiach, the Melech HaMashiach comes. All it says is, will be given over into this person's hand, the Yisyahavun Bidei, will be given over into their hand. But when they release us, that's an intermediary stage. They will release us, we'll have some degree of autonomy, some degree of freedom, and we'll not be suffering the same level of churban that it was before until this certain point in time. It does mean when that point in time comes, Mashiach is going to come out of Shemayim. It means it's part of the process of the ultimate geula. So there are many correct interpretations of Idan v'Idanin and Plag Idan, which will ultimately come to that point in time when we will be zecha to the ultimate geula of the real Melech HaMashiach and the real Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Vav. V'dina Yitiv, at this point in time, when the geula ultimately does come, let's learn very simply, when the geula does come, the dina yitiv, the judgment will be handed down. There will be a time of din v'cheshvoin, v'sholtonei yehadun, and authority will be removed. The fourth creature with its 11 horns, specifically the 11th horn, and the remaining 7 horns that are still there, will be removed. V'sholtonei yehadun lehashmada ulehoivada, for destruction, two expressions of destruction. Lehashmada is the targum of lehashmidai, ulehoivada ulehavido, two different words of destruction, at sofa, until the very end. This creature with its 11 horns will be completely obliterated after HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges it for what it's what the evil it has committed. Umalchusa v'sholtana urevusa, Di mal chivas to chos shemaya, and the three expressions, the malchus, and the shaltana is authority, urvusa is greatness, di mal chivas, which exists to which I don't really know how to translate this, di mal chivas to chos shemaya, which is the malchus of underneath the heaven, Yehivas le'am kadishay elyanim, will be transferred to Klal Yisrael, the holy ones from above, malchusay malchus olam, and their kingship, the kingship of Klal Yisrael, will be a malchus forever. V'chol sholtonayo le yiflechun v'yishtamun, and all other authorities in the world. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to cut off every authority in the world. All other leaders and individuals and nations that do have some small degree of authority at that point in time will worship and listen to the ultimate authority of the world, which is Klal Yisrael, who will be led by the Kadishei Elyonim. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Chof Zayin. U'malchusav ha'malchus ha'memsholov ha'gedulo shal malchus ha'akum asher tachas kol ha'shemayim yiyye nosun, their malchus, their authority will be taken away and will be transferred to la'am kidoshei elyonim behem Yisrael malchusav malchuso tia malchus elam, the malchus of Christ will be a malchus forever. V'chol ha'moshlem yavdu eso, all authorities in the world, all world leaders will worship, will serve the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. They love Yishma'u l'chol asher yitzaveim, and they will listen to what the Melech HaMashiach and what Klal Yisrael has to say. That this concept of listening is the ultimate, it represents the ultimate authority. We have a pasuk in the Torah, I don't know the pasuk by heart, but Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael that you need not worry. After I leave this world, Hashem will appoint future prophets, and they will tell you what to do. And Moshe goes on to say that you shall fear them. Ve'elav, the last word of the pasuk of the prophets, ve'elav tishma'un, and to him you will listen. You know, a judge has a gavel. He bangs. What happens when he bangs his gavel? Come to attention, listen. Why is that the symbol of a judge, to have a gavel, to bang? That represents the concept, a law of tishma'un. It's the highest authority. After everything is said and done, you go look in the past, the whole sequence. You have to fear the judge, and you have to have respect for the judge, and you have to pay taxes. But the ultimate level, the last thing that the Torah leaves off in regard to a prophet are the words, the closing words, the climax of his authority is a law of tishma'un. And that's why authority is always defined with the gavel, that's the symbol of a judge. Today they use it for an auction, which is not really, it's not really what it was meant to be. It's just the way a lot of fighting and screaming goes on by an auction, so somehow they use that tool.
Same ending.
Call to order. Yeah, but that's more of a call to order. But it's not the degree of a judge, it's you listen to me. Everyone quiet. No talking. I am the one in charge. What I say goes. I give the command. I issue the judgment. A love tishmun, and that is here what it says about the Melech HaMashiach. At this point in time, there is going to be judgment, and the nations of the world, this fourth creature and the 11 horns that are going to be wiped out, and the malchus will be transferred to Klal Yisrael, and the malchus of Klal Yisrael will be a malchus which is forever and ever. And this malchus is comprised of three things. It's malchus Sholtana Ruvusa, which represents, as the pasuk says, it represents the concept of Malchus Tachas to Chos Kol Shemaya, beneath the heavens, because in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech. Malchus HaDa'aris Ke'en Malchus Derekiah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows man to control what takes place on this world, Torah Laba Shemayimi, but of course it has to conform to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will of the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Melech Malchay HaMlochim. But this pasuk says, Di Malchus HaDa'aris Ke'en Malchus Derekiah, which is the Malchus Malchus, these three terms encompass the Malchus which is beneath this earth, and it will be given to Klal Yisrael, and every living creature of this world will have to listen to what Klal Yisrael has to say. Now there is an expression we have in the Yomim Noirahim, part of the Nusach HaTfilah, V'chol Harisha Kula Ke'oshan Tichle V'savir Memsheles Zadon Min Haaretz. Two expressions. Risha, Chol Harisha Kula, will completely disappear like smoke. Chol Harisha, wickedness, Kula, Ke'oshan Tich, will dissipate like smoke. And then it goes on to say, the Savra Hashem will remove the Memsheles Zadon, the authority of evil, Min Haaretz. Where does that come from? That double expression. It comes from this Pasuk, Pasuk of Zion. That expression comes from Pasuk Chav Zayin. Look what it says here. Well, as to take it back, it comes from Pasuk Chavah and Chav Zayin together. This is what it says, Mishpatzer Zav. Because Chavah says, the Dina will be handed down, Vishol Tonei Yehadun will be removed, Lehashmoda Ulehoivoda, destruction. The wicked authority, there will be a degree of wickedness that is beyond repair. It's irreparable. There's no way it can be salvaged. It's unsalvageable. And it will have to be destroyed. V'chol harisha kula ke'oshan tichle. That's Pasuk Chavav. V'dina yitiv v'sholtonei yehadun. It will be removed. For what? What do you mean removed? Not just to taken to the side. Lehashmada ulehoivada at seifa, complete obliteration. And then Pasuk Chav Zayin goes on to say, there's going to be another degree of change that will take place at this point in time. Malchus will not be completely destroyed. Malchus will be allowed to exist, but it will be, the authority will be passed. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Malchusah v'sholtunah v'ulevusah di malchivas t'chesh kol shmaya yehivis l'am kadish el yainim, and it will be transferred. So no longer will be a Malchus Zodain, a Malchus of evil people who commit things without anyone stopping them. But the correct Malchus will be transferred to Klal Yisrael, and all the other nations will have to worship Klal Yisrael. So that's a very beautiful idea, which really that part of the Nusach HaTfilah wants to show really comes here from what it says in Pasuk Chavav and Pasuk Chav Zayin. Now I've come to the last Pasuk Chav Ches, Adka, everything Adka Sofa Din Milsa, everything that I've said until now, all of the words of this prophecy, of this dream, of this image that I had, this dream that I had in the first year of Baal Shetzar, of witnessing these four massive creatures, the lion with the wing of eagles, and then the bear, which was Parasumodai, and then the Yavan, the leopard, and then this fourth mysterious creature, which Chazal tell us, the pig with its 11 horns. Everything I've seen ad ka, until thus far, so far, until the very end, Dimil Sav, this matter, until the very end of this matter, Anod Daniel, Sagi Rayoni, my thoughts, Sagi means very much, Rayonai Yivahalunani, my very much did my thoughts terrify me, Vizivai Yishtanon Alai, my facial features changed, I was not recognizable. When I saw this vision, my face changed. My friends did not know who I was. Vizivai means the appearance of my face, Yishtanon, changed, a lie upon me.
The shine,
yeah. the countenance of the person, the shine of the face, so that changed. The shine of the face changed, his appearance changed because of the fear, the terror of what he has seen. Umilsa belibi nitres, and the words and the matters were guarded in my heart. In other words, I did not reveal everything that I am telling you. This goes back to the beginning of the paragraph, I'm only revealing the Roshei Prakim, just the headings. I'm not telling you the details because I'm not allowed to. Hashem did not allow me to tell you the details. And also that would reveal the coming of Mashiach. I would tell you what it means here, the Idon, the Idonin, and the Plag Idon. I would be revealing to you when Mashiach is going to come, which I may not do. And I'm also not permitted to tell you all the details, but just to give you the basic layout of what's going to happen here. I now am living in the time of Baal Shetzar, which is the tail end of the Malchus of Bavel. I see that the Malchus of Bavel in a very short time will come to an end. It will be taken over by Mordechai Poras, then be transferred to Yavon, then be transferred to Edom, and so on. And and so forth with Yishmael and all the details, and it's frightening to witness in advance what's going to happen on this world until the coming of Mashiach. Let's see the Mesudas Pasuk Chof Ches Ad Ko Ad Heina Sof Shel Dvar HaChazon, until not the end of the vision. Anu Ani Demil Harbe Ma'od Hiv Havhilu Oisi Machshav Oisai, my thoughts have terrified me. The Zoya Ponai, the shine of my face, countenance, Nishtan Olai, changed. The Adavar Ahi Shamati Belibi, I guard this. I only told the people of my generation just the race, just the headings, not the details. Let's see Rashi. Is there Rashi at the very end of this pasuk? Pasuk chavches ad kol ad kan sagi rayona yevahaluni har bechayu machshavosai mevhalos. I see my thoughts terrified me. Vizivai yishtanun maris yoifi v'toyari nishtanu built-in nitres belibi tzofanti. It's hidden in my heart. Okay, so that concludes this perek Zayin. This concludes the vision of this in the first year of Baal Shetzar. The four mysterious creatures which represent the Dalid Malchus. Now we have come to a very, very important point in Daniel. This ends the Aramaic section of Daniel. Many people have a very hard time with Daniel because it's in Aramaic. It's really not so hard. It just takes a parak or two to get the gist of it. After you go through two parakim, I think you already get the words repeat themselves over and over. And in fact, it's very important. You learn a lot of basic Aramaic, Aramaic 101. And we have, if you learn the Talmud, the Gemara, it's all Aramaic, and you have a lot of parts of Tzvila, Yukam Purkin, and Bruch Shmei, and those who, Kigavna. Well, there are a few things here and there, so it's important. It's important to learn a little bit, and we have in the Nusach HaTfilah a lot of the things are taken from here and the Zmiros as well. Okay, now we start another vision, Perek Ches. Now, Perek Ches really complements Perek Zayin. Perek Ches is also a very difficult perek. It's in Hebrew, and we're going to discuss only two creatures, not four. Now, what? So why? So there are a few answers. Not that I remember them, but one of the answers given is this was only meant originally for Daniel. The vision of Perek Zayin was meant to be relayed and conveyed to the people living in his time. And they were familiar, they were fluent in Aramaic. So he was given to him. Now, it's not clear that the vision was given to him in any language. It could be the vision, something that you see. I don't think that it's not necessarily spoken. But when it was recorded and discussed and mentioned, it was spoken in the language that was known among the people who are now living in Gaulis. So it's very Aramaic. So it's very important that Daniel is I don't know if we can call him the prophet. He's not a prophet, but he is the prophet of Gaulis. Everything that he's saying and doing, his whole life revolves around what is happening in Gaulis. He was taken away from Eretz Yisrael as a young man when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing, and his entire upbringing and development took place in Gaulis. It's very similar to Ephraim and Menashe, the children of Yosef. Yosef also was taken away, or even you can compare him to Yosef to a certain degree. He was taken away as a child from Eretz Canaan to Mitzrayim. He grew up there, he rose to success, and he became a leader for the Jewish people in the exile. That's exactly what's happening here with Daniel to a much greater degree than Yirmiah. Because Yirmiah, even though Yirmiah, a lot of his prophecy was said in Bavel, and Yirmiah pretty much focused on the Churban itself. He was not in Gaulis. Yirmiah and Yechezkel were prophets, but their roots were in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas Daniel is entirely a figure of Gaulis. And Gaulis, in Gaulis, we don't speak Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh is in Eretz Yisrael. Aramaic is the language of Gaulis. So the flavor and the flair of the first seven parakim is all in Aramaic, which represents the concept of Gaulis. But now we come to Perek Ches, it's very different, because first of all, one answer is it was only meant for Daniel. It was not meant to be revealed to his companions and his Bnei Dor. Another answer is that what's happening here in Perek Ches is a tkufa that leads to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Paras. The two creatures that we're going to focus on are Modai and Paras and Yavan. Paras rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. He gave permission. And Yavan was a Golos where there was a Beis HaMikdash. In the Tkufa of Yavan, there always was a Beis HaMikdash. There was trouble. There was a time when the Beis HaMikdash was not active because of the Yavanim. But there still was a Beis HaMikdash. So being that we are going to focus in this parak on two of the four Golios, the Golos of Paras u'Modai and the Golos of Yavan, and these two nations, these two Malchios, built the Bayis Sheni, and Klal Yisrael was allowed to live and thrive during the Tkufos of the Malchus of Yavan. It's a restoration to Eretz Yisrael. We have been restored to Geula. Therefore, the proper language to discuss this is in Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon Kodesh instead of Aramaic. The first seven parakim focus primarily on the first Malchus of Bavel and the last Rav. If we notice, if we study very carefully, there, even though we mentioned in the last couple of parakim the Dalet Malchios, the emphasis was always on Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, and Belshazzar. His statue, he built a statue that he wanted to put away to prevent the Churban of his Malchus. And we emphasize in utter detail the last Malchus, the last creature, or the legs which were made from iron and clay. We focus on that Malchus. Why? That was the Malchus that destroyed the Bayis, brought Klal Yisrael back into Golis, and once we're back in Golis, then the language of Golis is Aramaic. But here we're going to emphasize and be mashlam and discuss in much greater detail what's going to happen during the Tkufa of Malchus number 2 and Malchus number 3, namely Modai Paras and Yavon. Let's start. Mishnah Shalosh was the third year of the Malchus, Baal Shatzar, HaMelech. This is the third year. The third year of the Malchus, this parallels what we learned in Perek Zayin, which took place in the first year of the Malchus of Belshazzar. If we turn back to the beginning of Perek Zayin, the very beginning of this very long Perek, you'll notice that it says, Bishnas Chado Level Shatzar Melech Bavel. And here it says, Bishnas Shalosh, the Malchus Belshazzar, Belshazzar HaMelech, Chazon Nira Eli, a vision appeared to me, Ani Daniel, Achare Hanira Eli Batchila, after what appeared to me in the first dream, referring to the previous. So we're coming to be mashlim the details of vision number one. Let's see Rashi. B'shnas shalosh, achrei hamar harishna asher shenira elai b'tchila, hachalom ha'omer l'malo, shenira li b'shnas echel l'bal shetzar. So this continues perek zayin. Okay, pasik base. Voere, and I saw bechazoin in my vision. I saw my vision. The following: Vayehi birosi. I was watching. There's some repetition. It's not clear why. Vayehi birosi. Vani bishushan habira asher be'elam hamadina. I was standing in the capital. Bira is a city. Shushan. That was the name. We know Shushan Bira from the time of Achashverosh. It was the capital. Asher be'elam hamadina, in the Medina, the province of Elam. Vo'ere b'chazon, I saw my vision here the third time. Notice this is already the third expression, or if you want to count from the first pasuk, it's the fourth expression. If you go back to pasuk Aleph, it says chazon nira elai. That's one pasuk, and then pasuk base. Vo'ere b'chazon. That's already two. Vayehi birosi. That's three. And now four, voere bechozoin. That was three. That's four. So how many times do we have over here? I don't even know how to count. Pasuk Aleph was chozoin nirei lai. Pasuk, again it says, Hanirei lai batchi, and then Pasuk Beis, Zizvei b'chazon is 2. Again it says, Ayhi birosi is 3. And here it says, Nachmol v'erei b'chazon is 4. Where was I in this vision? Vani ha'isi al uval uloi. I was on the river uloi. Uval means a river. Uloi is the name of the river. Let's see Rashi. Al uval ilai al hanahar sheshmo uloi. All of the experts have studied the geography of Shushan Abira, and they cannot locate anywhere, in any record, a river called Uloi. So what does it mean? It's not clear. It means there was some type of...
As if he was standing on the river. He was imagining the river?
So, first of all, okay, let's discuss a few things. First of all, at this point in time, Shushan did not exist. Or if it did exist, it was definitely not a significant... It wasn't a place of any great significance. So, because Shushan became the capital of the Malchus of Paras much later on in the time of Achashverosh. Now, right now, when Daniel is speaking, we're not even up to the Malchus of Modai. We're still holding in the Malchus of Belshazzar, of Bavel. And Bavel did not have its capital in Shushan. Shushan Habira was a Persian city. And not only was it a Persian city, it was not the originally the capital of Persia, of Paras.
Isn't Elam the capital?
Could be, it changed. So there's a Medrash in Megillas Esther that tells us that Achashverosh moved the capital from Elam to Shushan because he wanted to make use of the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. So Shlomo HaMelech had a very elaborate throne, and it was transported from Eretz Yisrael, and it was brought to Shushan. And he wanted to transfer the throne from Shushan to Elam, but was unable. It was extremely complex, and his master craftsmen were unable to operate and to train. It was a mechanical throne, and they were unable to transfer. So it's an incredible insight. Being that it was so important for the Achashverosh to use the throne of Shlomo, and they were unable to transfer it from Shushan to Elam, he moved the capital of Paras to Shushan. He moved his capital to where the throne was, so he can make use of that throne. Isn't that an amazing thing? It's like if the President of the United States, he found a nice house somewhere in North Dakota, and he decided this has to be the new White House. So he'll move the capital of the country, will no longer be Washington, D.C. So he'll move it to somewhere in some little village, some little unknown city in North Dakota. Because I like this house. I want my I want the Oval Office. There's a beautiful office. It's just right. The carpet is just perfect. It has a desk, which is very delicate. It cannot be moved. And I don't want to move this desk. I don't want it to go and the mover should touch it. So we'll move the whole capital of the country to this little city. It's exactly what happened. It's mind-boggling. The throne of Shlomo HaMelech was located in Shushan Abira, and Achashverosh was desperate to make use of that throne, so he transferred the capital.
When did the throne get to Shushan?
It appears during the Korban.
Several.
Midrashim of how it transferred. Many people died in touching the throne, in transferring the throne.
Egypt.
There were lions, and there's a very complex medrash that discusses the nature of the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. It's a magical throne, and it was very... A lot of people died over it, and he wanted a desk. Please, that's part, a little piece of the magic. But here what's happening, something that's very unusual. Daniel is now living in the time of Belshazzar. It's the third year of Belshazzar. We're still the Malchus of Babel. Malchus of Babel is still in existence. And already in his dream, he's seeing what's going to be during the Malchus of Paras. And he's standing in Shushan Habira, and by a river called Uloi, and he sees the following image. We're going to focus now only on two creatures. The first creature is an isle, and this isle refers to Modai Uparas, two nations. This isle will have two horns. I made lefnehu uvol, and this isle was sitting before the river. Velo kironayim, and this creature has two horns. The hakironayim givahos, and the horns are very tall. A horn always is symbolic of might, power. V'ha'achatz gevoah min hashenis, but one horn is larger than the other. V'ha'givoha, and the one that was larger, Ola bo'acharona, continued, went up second. So it appears that the horns are growing. There are two horns, and the one horn is larger, but the one that's larger only became larger later in time. They started out equal, two horns, and then at a second point in time, it became larger. Or maybe you could say first developed horn number one, then came horn number two, and horn number two overtook horn number one, and it extended and became larger. Let's see Rashi very quickly. All right, so we're going to Rashi right away. Explains what is the significance of this creature called the Ayil, and why does what is the significance of having it two horns? Pasuk Gimel in Rashi. Filoi Karnayim Romas Lemalchus Parasu Modai. The first horn will be the power of Modai, and the second horn will be the power of Paras. For Achatz Kvayim Minar Shriya Romas Lemalchus Paras. The second horn, the horn which developed second, overtook the first horn. That represents the nation of Paras. It only lasted for 1 year. Shenemar b'shnas achas l'daryovish ben achashverosh mizera modai. Don't confuse. There are two daryovish ben achash. Not only there are two people by the name of daryovish. Both of them had the father of the same exact name, achashverosh. Not to be confused, achashverosh a Parsi. That was the achashverosh from the story of the Megillah. He was achashverosh. He had a son, Daryovish. Some learned that Daryovish was the son of Esther, but that's Daryovish ben Achashverosh HaParsi. Here, Modai, the first king of Modai, was also Daryovish, and his father was also called Achashverosh, but his name was Achashverosh HaModai ben Achashverosh Mizera Modai. But Shneem said, "Olam lo imatzinu shana l'Modai b'ksum elazu b'lvad." The only place that we find in the source that this will be later on that the parak test. The only place that we find an account of how long the nation of Modai lasted is in this Sefer Danilim Perek Tes, which will come to later on. Okay, next Rashi v'hagvoa ola b'acharona Ramasu shetaktim malchus Modai l'malchus Paras. Since the second horn is Paras, and it becomes larger because Paras ruled for 51 years. In total, it was a 52-year rule. So 51 year was Modai, 51 years was Paras. That's why the second horn was much larger. It ruled for a much longer period of time. But being that it's called second, so here we know that Modai ruled first. It was the first ruler. And now the other Farshim explained the reason why it was a taller, and we mentioned this before, was because we learned in the last week, in the parak before, that Modai only controlled 120 Medinos. Whereas we find in the Megillah that Paras ruled over 127 Medinos. So the extra seven gave it a greater status in the world, and that's why it's called, it was larger. It wasn't just larger in time, it was larger in scope. It conquered the entire world. Okay, now let's see very quickly the Mitzudos David. Pasik Gimel, Oyle Boacharoina, Minarosh La'ayil. Okay, that's all he says in Pasik Gimel. Let's go to that Pasik Dalid, E.C.S. La'ayil. Then I saw the ayil. What about this ayil? This wind. By the way, why was the Malchus of Modai Paras compared to an ayil? So I saw, and it could be it's in the Medrash, because Paras was instrumental in rebuilding the Bayis Sheni. And the Bayis Sheni, and the first carbon that was offered there, at least from the Ovos, was Yakedas Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is always in the world of Jewish compared to an ayil. Vayis, so after the Akedah, Al Tishlach Yodcha Lanar. So Yitzchak was the equivalent of the ayil, and Avraham Avinu offered the carbon where in Har Hamariah, and at that moment in time Avraham Avinu said that he called the Makom Hashem Yireh Bahar Hashem Yiroheh. In this location, after Avraham Avinu, he offered Yitzchak as, he was willing to offer Yitzchak as a carbon. Avraham Avinu discovered that this would be the place of where Hashem Yiroheh, Hashem will rest His Shechina. This will be the Mekayim HaMikdash when he offered that Ayil after he offered Vayavi Yitzchak Avinu Ayil, he offered the Ayil, and he called the place Vayikra Shem Amokam Hashem Yireh Bahar Hashem Yeroheh. So now that Mordai Uparas will be the ones who will be instrumental in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, rebuilding what their predecessor Bavel Nebuchadnezzar destroyed, and the Mele it was Zocha in this Smareh to be compared to the Ayil. Because the Ayil is the creature in the story of the revelation that this would be the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very beautiful medrash to explain why Dafka the Ayil. Now another important point, we have here two creatures, the Ayil, and then we're going to see Yavne is going to be compared to a goat, a sawyer. An Ayil is an adult sheep. An Ayil is a sheep, a baby sheep is a keves. When a male sheep becomes an adult, when it becomes 3 years old, it's called an Ayil. A goat is an ace, and when a goat becomes an adult, it becomes a sawyer. And when it's 1 year old, we have a sawyer hamishtalech. We have on Yom Kippur. So we're going to have over here soon two creatures, just two creatures. One creature is the ayil, and the second creature is the sawyer. These two creatures are domesticated creatures. These creatures live with us in society. These creatures are offered as korbanos. We only offer korbanos, domesticated animals. We do not offer chayos. But in the previous parak, when we discussed the vision of Modei Uparas and the vision of Yavon, what were the creatures that we discussed? A bear, a dove, which also can be interpreted as a wolf, and a leopard. A leopard, bear, and wolf are chayos. So the question is, why here in this parak, when we're now going to discuss two of the four malchios, namely Modei Uparas and Yavon, do we compare them to behemos, domesticated animals, whereas in the previous parak we compare them to chayos, to wild animals? So the number of answers. One answer, simple answer, is in the previous parak, the focus was how these Dalin malchios would conquer the world. It's their relationship, not just to Klal Yisrael, but to the entire world. Klal, when we look at the world, we always look at the world with two different perspectives. The perspective of how a nation affects the entire world, and how a nation affects Klal Yisrael. We, in our time, we're very insulated in the Orthodox world. We're very self-centered. The world doesn't exist outside of the five Medinos. There are five. What are the five? Someone asked the question. What are the five boroughs? The five boroughs. Right. Williamsburg, Muncie, New Square, something like that. We live in a very insulated world. We live, but in Chazal, it's very clear that that's not the case. There's a whole world out there, and there's the whole world has a role in the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in coming to recognize and enhancing Hashem's honor. So in the previous parak, when we discussed the four nations as Chayos, it was from the perspective and focusing on their role in controlling the world, the Umos HaOlam. In this parak, when we focus on these two Malchios, we're focusing on them in their relationship only to Klal Yisrael. It's true that Modei Uparas was called, as the Abarbanel says, it's true that Modei Uparas in the previous parak is called a bear. To the world, they were like a ferocious bear. But to Klal Yisrael, relatively speaking, they were very calm. They were only an isle. Now, an isle, not necessarily a very bad isle. A very bad isle. And it wasn't a picnic exactly, but relatively speaking, compared to their cruelty and their brutality towards the world, to the world they were begeder a bear, but to Klal Yisrael, they treated us at least a little bit more mildly. They were considered to be an isle. In fact, they let us rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's the ultimate credit. So we learned in Yeshayim many times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Koresh. Hashem called to Koresh, said very nice things about Koresh. He was meant to be a participant in the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a domesticated animal called the isle. And likewise, Yavon didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Kayavan, they tried to cause us to assimilate and so on and so forth, the miracle of Hanukkah. But we survived. Claudius, what?
Under Alexander, at least.
It was okay. The vast majority of the Tekuva, the 100, Yavin lasted for 180 years. The vast majority of those 100 years were very good years. We had no problem. It was a very difficult Tekuva time of Hanukkah. That Tekuva, about a 50-year period of time, was a very difficult period of time. But the other, otherwise, it was pretty good. That's why it's compared to a domesticated animal, a soyer, not a chayat. Let's just read one pasuk. So I saw here this isle. Minageach. So here the isle refers to the Malchus of Paras and Modai. It was Minageach. It was goring. To which direction? Yama to the west. Vitzafona to the north. Vinegbo to the south. And what about the east? What about the east? You'll tell me no one lived in the east? No, that's where they lived. They were in the east. Modai and Paras are to the east of Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, China didn't count.
They are in the east, and they are exerting their influence over the west, north, and the south. But they are the east. That's why the east here is not mentioned. What? We're going to come to Alexander. Is the next. He's the next creature, right?
Not the east.
Well, that's the next creature. But right now we're focusing on the Ayil. And the Ayil has two horns. Horn number one is Modai. Then comes the second one. The second one overtakes the first horn. That's Paras. And this Ayil, these two nations together, was an alliance between these two nations together. They gored all the way to the west, to the north, and the south. They were stationed in the east. To the west, to the north, to the south, of all of the chayos. Now that's very interesting. Here we're calling them the chayos. All of chayos simply means all animals, all nations. No one could withstand their power. No one can save from their hands. They were very powerful nations. They did as their will, and they increased. They grew and they developed to a very great degree. Mitzuda says Nase Godel v'Chazak, and Rashi. There is no Rashi on this pasuk. Okay, so we'll stop here. We're up to pasuk K, and pasuk K is we're going to begin to discuss what's going to happen with Yavon. Yavon will now come on the scene and will wage war. Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great will die at the age of 32, and his malchus will be divided into four parts. And then from those four parts will eventually come Rome and Yishmael and all that is alluded to in the next coming psukim. We'll stop here.